David Norton is a state project liaison for the Arctic on the Outer Continental Shelf Environmental Assessment Program. Currently, his work concerns the upcoming Beaufort Sea lease sale.
The coming Beaufort sale has many unique aspects. There's no way we can learn from other people about the process of leasing, development, exploration in the Beaufort. One of the many unique aspects is the fact that it's the first ever joint state-federal lease sale in history. So it's important for the state to be kept aware and right up to the minute of the environmental research going on in the Arctic Outer Continental Shelf. So my function is to report back to the state just the instant we learn anything that has bearing upon the lease sale or environmental concerns with petroleum development in the Arctic.
How much coordination has there been between state, federal, industry, and North Slope representatives?
In the case of the Beaufort Sea sale, I would say there's been a great deal. We began, for example, out of our office approximately 2 years ago, regularly to involve the North Slope Borough, as one example, in virtually any kind of proceeding that we had going on. It took them a while to take advantage of that kind of opportunity on a regular basis. And about the same time, perhaps a bit earlier, we established a very regular coordination or two-way communication system with industry as well.
How responsive has particularly industry been to the recommendations of scientists?
Very responsive, in that they always respond. They don't always respond in a positive fashion to the scientist recommendation. Sometimes it's a negative response. But they don't miss much, that's for sure.
When you say not always in a positive way, what have been some of the reactions of industry to recommendations in terms of, say, drilling season, areas where drilling can occur, and types of construction recommended by scientists working on the project?
Well, for example, the scientists' recommendations made in July, this past July, included very specific do's and don'ts surrounding the phenomenon known as the Stephenson Sound Boulder Patch, which is a biologically very active, very productive area. The immediate response of industry was, so what about a boulder patch? What is there to protect there? Why should we concern ourselves with the existence of a few boulders? But on further reflection, industry, I believe, has come to realize that the scientific recommendations took a very moderate course of action towards the boulder patches in the kelp community. For example, the scientists could have recommended taking the boulder fields, the area right in the middle of the lease sale, and deleting them from the lease sale and saying no drilling whatsoever. They didn't do that. And I believe that industry is quite prepared now to do the right thing to protect the kelp beds from sedimentation, pollution, and whatnot.
Clearly, there have been many meetings, reports, and resolutions. A lot of attention has been and will continue to be focused on the Beaufort Sea. Why is the Beaufort Sea development such a big deal?
Partly because it's a new experience for the United States in the Arctic. Partly because it is a bicultural phenomenon. It's almost as if the U.S. culture were confronting that of a foreign country, really. It's very hard to persuade Washington, D.C. that communicating, let's say, with the Inupiat peoples, that we have to deal with an entirely different cultural tradition, entirely different set of motives. We have to be respectful of those motives and their concerns. They're certainly being, I think, very respectful of the nation's energy needs, and we owe it to them to return that kind of respect. So those are two ways in which the Beaufort Sea is a big deal. A third way is that right now it stands at the top of the industry's wish list as far as development. They see, you know, a pretty high potential of succeeding in finding commercial hydrocarbon reserves. Certainly if they had their choice on environmental grounds, they would prefer to be at work solely in the Gulf of Mexico, but this may be where the action is. And it, beyond that, it's going to set a lot of precedents for future Arctic OCS development in the Chukchi Sea, the Hope Basin, Norton Sound, the Northern Bering, further sales in the Beaufort at some point.
It's my understanding that actually the Chukchi Sea and the Bering situations are potentially more explosive environmentally than the Beaufort.
Yes, the... Well, every area that you look at has its own powder keg of environmental problems. Take the Chukchi. Right now, it appears that the Chukchi will be far more hazardous in terms of ice conditions than anything we have in the Beaufort. That's because the moving pack ice is so much closer to shore. There's very little landfast ice from which petroleum exploration could take place. Also, the Chukchi is more of a migration corridor for marine mammals. Then as you move southward into the Northern Bering, of course, you increasingly go to higher and higher levels of biological productivity and commercial activities, United States as well as international.
How valid, from your perspective, are the claims of the North Slope for potential destruction of the bowhead whales caused by oil development?
Well, we don't know, and that is their claim. We have not, for example, been able to experiment with the bowhead whale. We haven't poured oil on bowhead whales. We haven't tried to disturb them or alarm them. Perhaps obvious reasons. Doing destructive experiments on a large, legally defined endangered species of mammal simply is not going to wash. On the other hand, I can't say that the claim made that offshore development in the case of the joint Beaufort sale poses a terribly obvious or insurmountable threat to the biology of the bowhead whale. If you look at the bowhead in the context of the entire ecosystem, including man, then there is a potential for understanding what the effects of offshore development might be. There is the potential that there would have to be adjustments in this whole ecosystem because of certain sublethal or disturbance effects on migration or whatever of the bowhead. I find it very hard to grapple only with the bowhead whale as an isolated species, as lawyers, I suppose, must do in the case of the use of the Endangered Species Act.
However, according to Norton, other areas, such as the Northern Bering and the Chukchi Seas, seem to pose much more of a threat to the entire population of bowheads and the people depending on them. But he admits so little is known that the Beaufort experience will amount to, as he says, quote, writing the textbook. As a scientist, I wondered how Norton felt acting as state liaison on the proposed lease sale, whether it had been an exciting experience for him.
Oh, I wouldn't be anywhere else. Very exciting. You know, I've had the chance to meet and get to know very well people that come from entirely different points of view. Conservationist, industrial, native, government. It's been a very rich experience for sure. And of course, this Beaufort sale, among the other potential Arctic sales, is a momentous event. I suspect in 10 years we'll look back upon this year and maybe next Tuesday as being a real watershed point in Alaskan history.
David Norton, State Project Liaison for the Arctic on the Outer Continental Shelf Assessment Program. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.
What it comes down to on almost anything in Arctic systems in the Beaufort Sea is there's very little documented evidence on any Arctic creatures. We frequently hear at hearings on Beaufort Sea leaf sales that in California, in the Santa Barbara oil spill, gray whales swam right through the oil spill down there. They probably did. Whether bowhead whales would or would not, we just don't know. There have been some recent experiments done on the oiling of bowhead whale baleen. The results of that study seem to be finding that at relatively warm water temperatures, bowhead baleen passes oil very readily, whereas at considerably colder water temperatures, the oil is more viscous and then clogs the baleen.
Bowhead whales use baleen as a kind of straining teeth for the krill and small zooplankton used for food. According to Kathy Frost, a marine mammals biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the krill and zooplankton would be very vulnerable in the case of an oil spill in the Beaufort Sea. Frost is one of a group of scientists who has been studying potential biological effects of oil exploration and drilling in the Beaufort Sea offshore oil and gas leasing site. Although most of the attention concerning possible disruption to marine mammals in the proposed lease area is centered around the bowhead whales, whales aren't the only organisms likely to be affected.
I think one of the concerns of all of us is that people realize that bowhead whales aren't the only animal in the lease area, that there are many, many other creatures in that area that are equally as important to the ecosystem itself. There are many, many seabirds that migrate into and through that area during the summer months, millions of birds coming up to breed in that area and feed very extensively. In Simpson Lagoon, which is adjacent to the lease area, several years ago they counted 30,000 migrating old squaws in the area. At that time, the old squaws were flightless and on the water there in Simpson Lagoon and potentially very vulnerable, I think, from the standpoint of bird biologists in the area. Many anadromous fishes migrate through that area in the summer. They come out the mouth of the Colville River and disperse along the coast. Fairly substantial proportions of the fish populations may be in those very small areas at any one time. As far as the winter time, we don't know how important those coastal lagoon systems are as overwintering areas, for example, for fish populations. I think a while back the feeling was that anadromous fishes wintered exclusively in the river systems, and now there's some indication that there may be pockets of overwintering fish, deep water pockets of overwintering fish out actually in this lease area.
Fish comprise part of the food chain for other inhabitants of the Beaufort Sea lease area, including the people of the North Slope and ringed seals, which subsequently become food for the polar bears.
Probable effects to ring seals in particular will come through the food chain. If there are any fishes, shrimps, crustaceans, little tiny krill or brit that the seals are feeding on, are species that are potentially impacted by oil in the environment. For example, although no studies have been done in the Beaufort Sea itself, larval stages of fishes seem to be very sensitive to petroleum contaminants, to aromatic fractions. Fish eggs may not hatch properly or may be grossly distorted by petroleum in the water. Experiments with shrimp seem to show that although adult shrimps aren't very sensitive to oil itself or oil fractions, larval shrimp or developing stages may be sensitive. And so we're worried, if these populations of food items are impacted, that may then result in detrimental effect on the seals. One of the things we're concerned about or have certainly thought about is there's a species of fish called the Arctic cod, or by the local residents it's frequently called a blue cod or tom cod. And this single species of fish makes up by far the majority of the ring seal diet throughout the year, especially in the winter and spring months when ice is there. In addition, it's the major food for large numbers of birds up there in the summer, and it's also used by coastal residents. No one knows what the effects of petroleum are on Arctic cod. Some experiments have been done on other members of the cod family, which show that the eggs and larvae are extremely sensitive. On the Argo Merchant spill last spring, some tests done on Atlantic pollock in the spill area showed that large numbers of the eggs were not normal, seemed to be deformed. The larvae that did hatch from those eggs didn't work. They didn't grow, didn't develop, died at some point.
It's not only oil spills that concern biologists, but also the potentially adverse effects of oil exploration activities.
A lot of people think oil spill is the only thing that could possibly be detrimental to organisms in the area. And I think the actual disturbance that accompanies development, exploration and development, may be of greater impact. Ring seals, for example, bear their pups in lairs or snow dens in the spring and appear to be sensitive to disturbance at this time. Last year, we looked at some data that seems to show that in areas where seismic exploration prior to drilling takes place, ring seals are displaced from the area where this disturbance activity occurs.
Given that there is a limited period of time when exploration and drilling activities could occur, will that solve the problem of disturbance to the animals, or does it just not matter when it occurs, it's a matter of if it occurs?
I think all of us who were involved in recommending a seasonal drilling restriction felt that although there's certainly biological activity occurring in the Beaufort Sea year-round, the summer period is more critical to more individuals. That's not to say that you can write the winter off and assume that nothing's going to happen if you spill oil or develop in the winter. Arctic cod are spawning under the ice in the winter. They're the major forage fish in the Beaufort Sea. Ring seals are having their pups under the ice in the winter. They're a major food for people, polar bears and foxes. Lots of things are happening in the winter, but when viewed in light of what is also happening in summer, diversity numbers are much, much greater in the summer months. Tremendous influx of birds, influx of marine mammals from other parts of Alaska. Bowheads and beluga whales move into the area. Fishes move into the area. The summer is a more important area, more important time. And that was the impetus behind recommending a seasonal drilling restriction. I think in addition to feeling that in the case of a catastrophic event such as a spill, there was at least a chance for cleanup in the winter months. And we all feel, or many people feel, that a spill in the summer would be much harder to control or clean up. The technology is primitive. And were weather conditions bad, or were there a lot of moving pack ice in the area, it could be virtually impossible to clean up a spill in the summer.
Although biologists are deeply concerned over possible adverse impacts on the biota resulting from oil and gas activity, others argue that the development of the area is more important, and some may wonder why ringed seals should matter at all. Frost has a response to that.
It's a question of why does it matter if anything decreases? If it doesn't matter to human people, does it matter? You know, I think all of us are saying, you know, an animal is important whether it's eaten or not, or whether it's hunted or not. It's important to have polar bears there. Polar bears are protected by international legislation. All of us like to know there's polar bears in the Beaufort Sea.
For now, there are polar bears and ringed seals, beluga and bowhead whales, tom cod, old squaw, krill, and other organisms inhabiting the Beaufort Sea lease area. Biologists such as Kathy Frost of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game are working with state and federal representatives and members of the oil industry to ensure that those species will continue rather than experience obliteration or serious reduction due to development. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.